Pacific Ocean to his right and cursed the morning sun. It beat through the skylight and smashed into the mirror, making it all but impossible to shave without squinting. He had lived in Los Angeles long enough to lose track of the seasons, so it took glancing up at CNBC and seeing live images of people snowshoeing down Madison Avenue for it to register. It was the middle of winter, and he determined that all day, no matter how bad things got, at least he'd be grateful for the weather. His pool shimmered. Stone Canyon Reservoir shimmered. The ocean shimmered. He cocked his head and flicked his wrist, skipping an imaginary stone from the pool to the reservoir. It split some Westwood high-rises, then landed in the Santa Monica Bay. He wound up again, this time to clear Catalina, and then stopped. There was a furry, brown thing floating in the jacuzzi.
Honey,
he walked into the bedroom.
There's something in the jacuzzi.
He paused, waiting for the daylight in his eyes to fade. His wife was in bed, her back to him, her hair seeping from under the pillow she'd taken to putting over her head at night.
Mama, mama,
a squawk erupted from the baby monitor. There was a cough, then a bleat. But Violet didn't move. What was her plan? Who did she think was going to get the baby? Was a standoff really so necessary that Violet would let Dot cry like this? Jesus Christ. David marched by the bed, skirting the rug so his bare heels struck the hardwood.
Ah!
Violet pulled the pillow off her head. And there they were, the reason he fell in love with her almost 20 years ago in front of the Murray Hill Cinema. The violets, tattooed behind her ear. David's dog walker, a friend of Violet's from Barnard, had set them up. David managed two bands at the time, big ones, but still, only two. He'd been told Violet worked for a legendary theater producer and was the daughter of some obscure intellectual he'd never heard of. The plan was to meet half an hour before Full Metal Jacket. David arrived on time, but the movie had already sold out. He spotted Violet. She had said she'd be the one wearing red plastic sandals, sitting on the sidewalk in the ticket holder's line, engrossed in the New York Times, and listening to a Walkman. Two movie tickets were tucked under her leg. She wasn't a knockout, but wasn't fat either, and had a face you wanted to look into. She turned the page of the business section and folded it, then folded it again. An artsy chick who read the business section? Who was responsible enough to have arrived early and bought tickets? With enough Ivy League pluck to sit on a dirty sidewalk and not care who saw her, it was done and done. He had to have her. As he stepped forward, she absentmindedly twisted her long hair off her neck. That's when he first glimpsed the tattoo behind her ear, teasing him from the edge of her hairline. He found it wildly sexy, but something inside him sank. He knew then there'd be a part of her he'd never possess.
I'll get her. I'll get her. I'll get her.
Violet threw off the covers and trudged to Dot's room without looking up. The violets. Those fucking violets. David headed to the kitchen, comforted by the sounds of the morning, babbling Dot, the hiss of brewing coffee, the crunch of Rice Krispies underfoot. These days, there were two kinds of Rice Krispies, those waiting to be stepped on and those that already had been.
Pfft.
He landed on some crispy dust.
Dada!
Dot shouted. She sat with perfect posture at her miniature wooden table, covered head to toe in croissant flakes, a darling, crusty monster.
Aw, good morning,
David said, stepping on some crispy virgins.
That's what I like to see. My girls.
A carafe of coffee and his newspaper awaited.
Honey,
he said to Violet.
There's something floating in the jacuzzi.
Violet opened the fridge.
What?
He walked to the window.
It looks like a dead gopher.
Then it's probably a dead gopher. She rooted around in the fridge.
Ah, there it is.
She tore white butcher paper from a hunk of cheese. At least she still did that